I'm going to continue this series on the supernatural works of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus. So the lesson is titled, Let's Take a Walk in the Supernatural. And as I said before, I wanted to word it, let's take a walk on the wild side. However, those of you that are my age group remember a song that was out called that, and it was not a godly song. So we're not attaching that to the message. Anyway, we'll just say, let's take a walk in the supernatural. We're going to read the word now. We're going to begin in Matthew 14, 23 through 33 is where we are at today. You can turn in your Bibles. Daniel may have it up on the board. We expect a lot out of Daniel. We got him running all over the place, putting scriptures up, singing, doing all kinds of stuff. Daniel's does the work of about two or three people in here. We appreciate it. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Now this is speaking of Jesus. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. Do you know what time of the day the fourth watch is? Anybody know? 3 to 6 a.m. You had it, Mary. 3 in the morning to 6 in the morning. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, and try to imagine this, try to picture this in your mind, looking out there and seeing somebody walking right on top of the water. I always tease people and say, yeah, I've done that too, but it was on the ice. You know, not the same thing, right? He was walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now I always looked at this and I'm always scratching my head. If it's you, tell me to come out on the water. Well, what if it wasn't him and whoever that was saying, come out on the water? I always wondered that. But I guess he knew his voice well enough to recognize it. But he said, it's you, command me to come out on the water. And you can just see the other disciples in that boat saying something like, no, are you crazy, Peter? What are you doing? So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Now, I am also thinking here, little faith. He was walking on that water, wasn't he? And I think, where does that put me? I mean, or all the other disciples, they didn't get out of the boat. They didn't dare. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Now, they've seen him do all kinds of miracles, but now they were personally affected. And again, it was reinforced in them who he was and who he is. So, you know what? I want everybody to stand up. Stand up. We're going to put a little bit of life into this place. And we're going to kick in an old song that you guys ought to know. And nobody can do it like Etta James. Kick that song in there, Dave. You'll know what it is. Crank it up a little.
Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me. For I want to see that man walking on the water. Who's here to let him brave? Turn into water, into wine. He can make the blind. He can make the blind. Oh, the eyes. of the blind. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see that man walking on the water. Jesus is the man out the river, and he's washing sins away. So, control, ready for that judgment day. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see man walking on the water. Jesus is the man at the river. He's washing away. So may control, ready for the judgment day. Let's all go down to the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see that man walking on the water. Let's all go down to the river.
Like an old evangelist used to say, R.W. Shambach, he goes, somebody out there shout amen, huh? Amen. Yeah, all right, you can be seated. I hope that woke you up a little bit. I've loved a lot of them old songs. You know, you probably never, ever, you might, I'm not going to ever say never, you never say never, but I've never really cut loose and danced in church or... But if I ever did, it'd be to a song like that, probably. I don't know. Anyway, where am I at here? This is a most unusual passage and miracle from Jesus. Why did Jesus do things in this way that night? You ever think about that? He could have calmed the winds from the shore. He could have just, because he's supernatural, he could have just appeared on the other side to meet them when they got there. But he decided to go out and just walk right across the Sea of Galilee. And he had a reason for it. You know? And a lot of people say, well, we think the main thing is Peter took his eyes off Jesus and went into the water. That's true. But that's about all a lot of preachers focus on. There's a lot more in this than that. And by the way, like I said before, Peter was the one who had the faith to get out in the first place and actually do it. So, I remember being out on the Sea of Galilee with my pastor friend, Bud Moody. We went to Israel, and we were out there, and I thought I would tease him, and I'd say, well, Bud, remember what Jesus did? Show me, Pastor. Go on. And he looked at me and goes, after you, Kevin. Both of us stayed in the boat. Remember, Jesus told him to. He wasn't just out there trying to put God to a foolish test. But he actually said, if you bid me, I'll do it. And that's the attitude we should have a lot of the time, shouldn't it? Instead of just being presumptuous on God. Well, what did this miracle accomplish? And what lesson is there for this for us today in 2025? First, we can see in verse 33... that it was reinforced in the disciples that he truly is and was and is and always will be the Son of God and God himself, God Almighty. Amen. The Godhead is one Lord, manifest in three different manifestations of his being. But was that the only reason? I'll give you a quick Bible quiz. If you know your Bible, and we've been... Those of you that have come on Wednesday night, we've been studying flowing in the spiritual gifts, you know, and properly flowing in them in church. And I'm still not satisfied. I believe that we have 9 gifts of the Spirit, and I'm praying for every one of them to manifest in our Sunday services, for people to step out in faith with the giftings that they had. So I'm going to keep on praying. I'm happy with where we've come as a church in the last 15 years, but we need to go much deeper, don't we, church? But here's the quiz. 1 Corinthians 12 lists 9 gifts of the Spirit, 9 of them. Can you tell me which gift of the Spirit was in operation with Jesus and Peter both walking on the water? Which one? I can't hear you. You got to yell it out. Miracles. Very good. 1 Corinthians 12:10. The working of miracles. All right? He wasn't giving him a prophecy. There wasn't, there could have been some wisdom there and things like that. But the working of miracles was prominent in that. Like so many other times, God used Peter to help us all relate to the things of the kingdom. Now, Peter was very impetuous. He had a big mouth. But Peter really taught us a lot. And when Peter, even after denying Christ 3 times, and then when he got filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, became very bold, you've seen anointings on Peter that you didn't even see in the other disciples. Said even his shadow landed on people and they were healed because of the anointing that fell on this man. So before we criticize and always want to point the finger at Peter, I think he was one of the greats of all time. I'm looking forward to seeing him in heaven and talking with him. He's probably very much more refined there than he was here, you know. Anyway, God used Peter to help us relate to the things of the kingdom. And I would have never thought to ask Jesus if I could come out there on the water and join him. That would have been my last thought. And keep in mind, you know, back then they didn't have regulations and ocean and all that. They weren't out there all with their life jackets on and all this kind of thing. They had nothing. There wasn't anything like that back then. Not a thing. I remember going from a place in El Salvador to an island when I was being tested to see if living water would qualify me to be on their mission field. They took me to another island out across the ocean to another island. And Leela McNabb was with us. And we got in a rickety boat like one of these. And there was a bunch of people. It was like a passenger boat, but it was made of wood. And they crammed so many people in that boat that you looked at the water and it was pretty close to the edge. We didn't have life jackets. Nothing. I was nervous. We got over there okay, and I preached and did what I needed to do. Got ate up by mosquitoes and all that kind of stuff. But on the way back at night, I asked the guy taking this little boat back in the best Spanish I knew how, don't you have a light or something on this boat? And he goes, no, señor. Yo tengo la luna. We have the moon. We get in this boat and people are crammed in there to go back to the shore of El Salvador. And to make it worse, off in the distance, you see lightning shooting across the sky, a thunderstorm. And then I start thinking about those news stories where a boat capsizes over somewhere in India and all these people perish. And I'm thinking, are we going to be the next news story? Oh, my gosh, what a night that was. And there's Leela just sitting beside me, just singing along. Nothing, you know, Leela, that's Leela McNabb. I prayed a lot that night. And I had to really ask myself, because there were some empty milk cartons in that boat. I thought, would you grab one of those milk cartons to save your own hide? And there's a bunch of kids here. Would you give one to a kid? I asked myself a lot of questions that night. Would you lay your life down? So that stretched me quite a bit. When you get out on the water like that, it is scary. You know, it's sort of like being up in a plane. Did you guys hit any turbulence on the way there or back? You're at the mercy of, you just have to put yourself in the hands of God. Now, Angie flies all the time, but I don't know if you ever get used to that. I think the older I get, the more sensible I get, and so I pray a lot more. When I was young, I didn't even think about it. But it's kind of the same out on the water. If you go down, you have no life jackets, you know you're not going to have the strength to swim to shore, especially if the waves are big. So they're out there. And I would not have asked, that would have been the last thing I would have asked Jesus. Let me come out there and walk around with you. But that's how St. Peter was. What was the response of Jesus to him? Did he tell him he was being silly? Did he tell him that would be a misuse of the power of God? Can you imagine that? Because to some, that might be a frivolous... You're asking Jesus to go out and play on the water? You're asking him to use godly power, Holy Ghost power, to go out and play around on the water? And that would be some people's response. But what was Jesus' response? Not at all. He said, yeah, come on out. Now, there's reasons that we need to understand. We need to really understand why Jesus said, yes, come on out. And this is where our learning comes in today. When you see doing miracles, God doing miracles all through the Bible in both the Old Testament and the New, I believe God delights in showing us what he can do. When we enjoy his mighty acts, it glorifies God. How do I know this? Psalm 145, verse 4 through 6. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. When God does things like this, we talk about it. Now, people respond by, oh, you're crazy. Oh, I don't believe that. But you know what happened. You know what happened. You know, in my lifetime, I've seen a lot of things, and I withheld a lot of things that God did because I really thought people would think I was crazy. But the older I got and the older I am now, I'm going to declare them. If you believe it, fine. If you don't, that's your problem. I mean, to withhold it is to not declare his mighty acts. And if you read in the Bible that God can part the Red Sea and do all these things, but yet you doubt today that he can heal a little bird that smashed up in a grill of your car. I talked about that a few weeks ago. It was all mangled up, and heal him instantly so he flies away. I mean, surely you can believe he can do that. So I'm just over people looking at me like I have three heads when I talk about this stuff. Because I know my God, I've come too far. To deny that now and to go back would be the greatest sin. You become more accountable when God does things. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Alex, I like the music you played this morning. It went along with the point I'm trying to make today. I think where we stumble in our faith is that we too often doubt whether God actually wants to move mountains in our life or whether he actually will on our behalf. We had a word come forth one Sunday morning, and he actually said that to us. It's not that you don't think I can do this. You're not sure I want to do this. And if you're not sure God wills or wants to do something, you're not going to have faith when you pray for that answer. I pray and I seek God and command healing in my sister-in-law because I believe God, it is his will to heal her. If I didn't think it was his will to heal her, why would I go against his will and even pray? You think about that. So be honest. There's a lot of times you want to pray for something big, but you have doubt in your heart that he wants to do it. So therefore, you mouth the words and there's no faith there and he's not going to answer that kind of a prayer. But if you're sure that he wants to do it, it's a lot easier to have faith for him to be pleased because God is not pleased unless we have faith, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Peter pleased him that night. He had faith. That's what Jesus was looking for. Even though he said later, oh, you have little faith, he had it. So we stumble when we often doubt whether God actually wants to move mountains in our life or actually whether he will in our behalf. He had no problem allowing Peter to walk on water like he was doing. Yes, he's more willing to allow us to operate miraculously by the Holy Ghost in the gifts of the Spirit than we believe. Did you get that? He's more willing to allow us to operate miraculously by the Holy Ghost in the gifts of the Spirit than we believe. And this hinders our mission to win souls on this earth when we think this way. The more you limit God, the less people will come to Christ. I look in the book of Acts, people, and where I see the multitudes, thousands of people come to Christ, isn't when somebody was dying of cancer. If there's something there, show me. It was when the person got healed. Or when something miraculous happened that thousands came into the kingdom. Let's get our theology straight. And we have churches, whole churches today, preaching against God. He's went into retirement. At some point, he's chosen not to do anything anymore. And they're strange excuses because we have the Word. Well, if we have the Word produces the mighty acts of God. He sent forth His Word and healed them. I can tell you, I can go off on a whole train here about what the Word does. The very fact that we have the Word, we should be seeing more mighty acts from God. Because it's here, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, to put faith in us so we can walk in the miraculous. If the Word is here and we read it and it doesn't do anything to us, you're making a mockery of God's Word by saying it's here so we read it, but that's all it is words on a shelf. No, my Bible's alive. My Bible is Jesus Himself. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So when you read this Word and hear this Word, you're putting yourself in contact with the mighty, miracle-working, walking on water Jesus. It makes no sense to me for somebody to say we got more words, so that means we have less actions from God. And by the way, I've been around the world in my day. It's not been a while. Most countries, if you had that kind of theology, most countries, third world countries, places, people have never even laid eyes on a Bible. They don't have Bibles. So many people, they don't have the Word. That's why you come to them, not with fancy words yourself, but in the power and demonstration of God's Spirit, so they can see Jesus is alive. It's just the biblical pattern. There's no other pattern here. If you can show me a different pattern by the Bible, not by your own theology, then we'll pay attention to it. John 14:12, and I want you to let this soak in. One of my favorite passages that I remind myself of. You actually have the capacity, everyone in here that believes in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've asked Him to come into your heart to save you, and He's your master. This applies to you, and you have the capacity, whether you think you do or you don't. This is truth, and He just wants you to believe it. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Does it say that? If you believe in Him, he who believes in me. He didn't say, just my 12 apostles minus Judas because he messed up. That isn't what Jesus said. He who believes in me. He didn't say he who believes in me until the apostles die. He said he who believes in me. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. Greater. I have heard ministers water this down. I've heard people make excuses. Like I said online the other day, I seen somebody get online and say, well, you can't take the Bible literally. And he used the word figuratively. I don't even really know what figuratively means. I just know it sounded a bit like what Satan did to Eve in the garden. Oh, did God really say that? You can't take him literally. Too bad she didn't take him literally. I say you take God literally. The only time in the Word you don't take it literally is when it explains that it's a parable and tells you what it means. Other than that, believe what he says. Let's not say, oh, it means this or it means that. Or you can make the Bible say whatever you want going down that path. And that is the devil's tool. You must take the Bible literally. If he says, the works that I do, you can do, you will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to the Father, he meant it. You have that capacity in you. Determines whether you want to step out in faith, step out of the boat, and believe God. Now he said, that's the words of Jesus. You can come to me, clear till the rapture and keep telling me it means something different. And you know what? It's going to bounce right off of my head. Because guess what? I know what he meant. I've seen too much. I could go down the list of things that I've testified in here over and over, you guys. I've seen too much. We should be more like St. Peter in that we shouldn't hesitate asking God to allow us to do the miraculous by his power. And when he grants this to us, we better be diligent to tell others that it was God doing these mighty acts through us so that people will realize we serve a God that is not dead, a God that is very much involved in our lives if we want him to be. As children of God and the bride of Christ, there are times he chooses us, yes, to even defy the natural laws of science. You know, God created science. Scientists, this is simply the study of God's creation. That's what science is. It's a study of God's creation. It gets corrupt when scientists come up with crazy theories that violate the word of God. You want to take a shortcut? Believe God. Believe his word first. You know, for so many years, they went down this path of now they're rethinking evolution because now they're thinking things happen suddenly in humankind. It wasn't some big, long, gradual thing. Now they're saying, gee, we come to this wild conclusion. We're finding stuff at the top of mountains that should be at the bottom of the ocean. You know what? There must have been a flood all over the earth at one time. Well, if they'd have just believed this in the first place, it could have saved 150 years of speculation. But science is nothing wrong with it. It's a study of God's creation. I just say, stay in your Bible and you'll be much further ahead because these theories are always changing through the years. And the Bible says that men will in the last days be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So the missing thing in science, any scientist, if he doesn't believe in the Bible, he just needs to put the Bible in there. Go to the Ark someday. Or the Creation Museum. How many of you have been to either one of those places? Well, those of you who haven't, do it. Ken Ham is an amazing man. He is a in the Christian realm, a scientist. He's been given a lot of wisdom and knowledge of how God did these things. The people never thought of. He's been in debates, and he was right up there with Charlie Kirk. You couldn't really argue against Ken Ham. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and you know this. If you're going to do great things for God and his kingdom, it always requires a step of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That doesn't mean a little McDonald's drive-through prayer. It means diligently seek him. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but it would be a good idea to have a place of prayer in your house, a prayer room, a place where you go. I got a little house, but I still have a place I go. Because that's a designated place when you're going to do prayer. You don't just send up a little drive-through. I'll pick on Burger King this time. A Burger King prayer through the drive-through. You mean business with God. You're praying diligently. You're seeking him. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Did Jesus mean what he said? I hope there's nobody here that someday becomes a teacher or preacher and waters this all down. Well, this is symbolic for something else. Oh, this is, you know, I've heard that in my lifetime so much, I want to throw up my egg sandwich I had for breakfast. You know, it's just, you take him literally. He meant what he said and said what he meant. Faith, when applied, can move mountains. And I said this a few weeks ago. You asked the man who said, son, stand still, and it stood still so they could win a battle. This has already been done, even under the old covenant. Why would we think God's any less able? Moses stood in front of that Red Sea, whew, parted. I was seeing something online. You got to be careful about what you see online, but they're doing dives trying to find evidence of Pharaoh's, and they're finding old things from that time period. They're at the bottom of the Red Sea that somehow survived all these years. I don't know how credible that is, but it doesn't surprise me. And it is faith that caused Peter to take that step out of the boat and onto the water. And of course, we always criticize Peter for taking his eyes off Jesus, then sinking into the water in our sanctimonious way. And I always say to somebody when they say that, have you ever got out of the boat and walked on the water and kept your eyes on Jesus? But he was the only one that got out of the boat. Yes, it is a spiritual truth that if we keep our eyes on, and I said something earlier, yes, there are times he calls his bride, his children, to defy science. Because sometimes these miracles he does defies the very science he created. Why? He can do it. He has the right to do it. He's the one that made him, the scientific laws. He can break them. An axe head swam in the water in the Old Testament. Tell me how that happened. I could go on and on about the times he broke his own scientific laws. Why would it be less hard to understand that his spirit is in you and I, and he still does it and can do it? And the reason he does it is for his glory. And especially in this age where we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, they need to know there is a God that is alive. They need to know that. They need to not only know today there's a God that's alive and real and is powerful, but he's a lot stronger than all the demons they're worshiping doing occult stuff. There's people involved in the occult, and they see the devil doing things, lying signs and wonders. And when we set back and we let this happen and we even speak against God doing that in these last days, we're not throwing down Aaron's rod to swallow up the rod of the magicians. Do you guys know what I mean? If you operate under the power of God, it overcomes anything Satan's doing. Just like what I was telling him on Wednesday night. We were discussing the gift of tongues, which some people think is nonsense. My goodness, I remember not always wise young Christian, seeing in the Lebanon Reporter an ad for a psychic that was going to tell your future, and I thought, oh, this is of the devil. I'm going to call this guy and get him saved. And I call him. Sir, you shouldn't be doing this. Those are familiar spirits. What are you talking about? They're familiar spirits. And I get into this big dialogue with this guy. I'm getting nowhere with him. I said, God has more power than that. And you're selling off your soul. I was doing my best to get him saved. And he wasn't hearing it. This is why you got to operate in the power of God. I remember hearing the Lord say very plainly to me on the phone while I was talking to this guy, speak to him in the language I've given you. And I thought, wait a minute. 1 Corinthians 14 says, if there be no interpreter, to be silent. And I'd never interpreted a tongue back then, those early days. So I thought, God ain't going to contradict his word, but this is his voice, I thought. And again he says, and this guy's talking, and I'm talking, he goes, speak to him in the language I've given you. After a while, I was very convinced it was God's voice, and I thought, I don't understand it. It sounds like it's violating 1 Corinthians 14, but I just cut loose. I just started speaking to him in tongues on the phone. He goes, where did you learn that language? And I go, what do you mean? He goes, where did you learn to speak ancient Arabic? He says, I've studied that for years and not a lot of people know. And he's just flipping out. I was flipping out. It wasn't me speaking. It was the Holy Spirit. And he said, you're talking about the light of God? And he was so shook up. He goes, I got to get off of this phone. I said, look, I didn't have to learn that language. That's one God put in me. Didn't have to learn it. Got it the easy way. And he ended up hanging up. I don't know whatever become of that guy. But I acted all cool and calm as a cucumber. I told you God had more power than, you know. Then I got off the phone and had a Pentecostal breakdown right in the right in the living room floor. Oh my gosh, what just happened? That's what I'm talking about. The world needs to see a God that is more powerful than any evil demon, anything people, because people are into the occult today. They're going to need to see the power of God. You know what happened in front of Pharaoh. Aaron's rod gets thrown down. Pharaoh was doing the same miracles as that they were doing with the rod. You know, the snake, throwing it down, turned into a snake. Aaron threw his rod down, and his rod swallowed the snake from the magicians. This is why it's important to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. The world is involved. They know. They may say they don't believe in God, and they turn around and believe in the devil and call it something else. I don't know if you know this, and I don't know if I should even say this, because I'm very troubled by it. And God allowed Charlie Kirk to be martyred. But did you know that they got a threatening notice about 3 weeks ahead that there were witches that were putting spells on him to stop him? And it troubled his wife greatly. They never talked about it in the memorial. And maybe more of that will come out. But do you notice, people, we're in a war? I believe that there are times you lay your life down for Christ, and I do believe that God ordered or he allowed that because of the fruit that's come out of it. But people, you can set, and I'm going to talk to, because I know I'm preaching to the choir here. You can set out there in your churches and say, well, we just don't believe. We believe God stopped doing that after the apostles died. We believe God went into retirement, I guess. While these people are out here doing lying signs and wonders and grabbing your children and people that you love and doing, Satan came to rob, kill, steal, and destroy, and you're setting back and not using the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal. We should be pulling down these strongholds, not attacking people, but coming against demonic spirits. It's a spiritual truth, yes, that if we keep our eyes on Jesus and trust him, miraculous things will come our way. Walking on water also represents having the ability to walk right over things that usually would cause us to sink. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, can take us anywhere, and our walk with him will indeed be a walk in the supernatural. No one has been able to explain to me yet how I was south of Jackson, Mississippi, and picked up some old man that was walking up the road. It was getting dark because I felt sorry for the guy and picked him up. And he said he was going north of Jackson. I said, well, I'm going that way too. Talking with him in my pick-em-up truck, that old truck I got. I'll never forget it. You guys, many of you heard this. I'm going to say it again. Explain to me how this happened. And don't tell me I'm crazy. This happened. I knew there was an odd presence when that older guy got in my car. He didn't say much. And so as we drove, and I could see the lights of Jackson coming up, and you could see the city lights coming up, I finally turned to him and I said, well, sir, that's Jackson. He goes, yep, it's Jackson, all right. And I looked back, and it was gone. The lights were gone. It was all gone. And I thought, where did Jackson? I even said, you know, I thought that was Jackson. Where did Jackson go? I'm looking this way and this way. I thought the road might have curved. But it was just like 10 seconds. And he said in the most calm voice, sir, Jackson is behind us and it's time for me to get out. I looked in my rearview mirror and those lights were now behind me. I went from one place south of Jackson to north of Jackson like that, and my truck went too. Figure it out. Sometimes people joke with me, Kevin, you drive so slow, God had to get you up the road. That probably was the case, because what happened that night when I went into the storefront church, when I got a room for the night, the timing was perfect of what was going on in that church, and that's even just as big of a miracle. So I knew why God did that later. But you know what? I'm old. I don't like those I'm unlike Andy. Andy can go on every ride there is in an amusement park. I don't like him very well. But I did not feel a tickle in my stomach. I didn't feel nothing. I just knew I was on the other side of Jackson. He has not stopped doing things for his glory. And that night, I needed to be in that storefront church because I had in my suitcase little booklets on how to witness to a Jehovah Witness. And when I stopped at the hotel and I saw a church service going on across the road, I thought I'd just hang out and see what it's about. And God said, take those booklets with you. And I thought, is this a Jehovah Witness place? No, it was not. But a guy got up at the beginning of the service. Now remember, I'd just been put on the other side of Jackson like that to be at this place. And he gets up and he says, folks, God has called me to witness to the Jehovah Witness. And everybody's going, amen. You know, it's just a little place. And he said, the only problem is I need to, he says, if anybody can locate some good literature on how to witness to a Jehovah Witness. I'm sitting there with this stack of books. 45 minutes prior, I was on one side of Jackson and on, I thought I was having a crazy dream. I was not. It was real. So what do? I'm a stranger in the midst. We're always kind of funny when somebody comes in and they want to talk at a service when you've never seen them before. But I raised my hand and I said, you guys, I don't think you'll think I'm crazy. And I told them the whole story and I said, look what I have. They danced all over the place. They had a Holy Ghost party all night in that church. And I left, they were still partying. He does things for his glory. And I can't help but believe a lot of fruit came out of that. It was my buddy Adam that wrote all those booklets, and I had them at home. And for whatever reason, the Lord said, bring them with you. So I crammed them all in my suitcase, and I thought, well, I just want straight salvation tracts. I don't want to deal with all them to find Jehovah Witnesses and try to get... No, God took care of it. Ask Philip, who was translated 50 miles from one place to another. Ask the man who was crippled and rose up and walked when Peter took his hand and pulled him up in the name of Jesus to rise up and walk and walk. Ask him if that was their imagination. Ask them if God still is just as powerful as he's always been. Ask Paul and Silas when they were singing praises to God while chained up in the prison and suddenly angels appeared with an earthquake and set them free. This is all New Testament. This is all New Covenant for all of you who think God went into retirement. Ask John, who was taken up in the Spirit and was given revelation from God and taken into the future, even beyond the time we're living in right now, to show us what's to come. God has been doing these supernatural things since the beginning of all mankind, all the way up today, and he's not going to stop. I believe when we get to heaven, he's going to continue to just blow us away by his supernatural works. I think he's got things in heaven he's going to do and show us. He's got a big, huge universe. His nature's not going to change. Our Father's a miracle-working God. He'll not stop doing them. And you can choose to be part of this walk in the supernatural, or you can live far below what he has called you to be as a Christian. That choice is yours. But I can tell you, if you choose the latter, you will disappoint God. He wants to show his mighty acts. He delights in them. It's sort of like when you have kids. You like them to see what old dad can do. Or mom. You like to hear them brag to their friends about, boy, my dad can do anything. My mom is the smartest mom. She really has it together. When you do that to your Heavenly Father, he's smiling. Think about this, church. If God allows us to do things like walk on water, even here in our fallen condition in this life, can you imagine what he has in store for us in the life to come? Can you imagine being in a glorified body, not limited by space of time? Philippians 3:20-21 says this. You're wondering what kind of a body you're going to have? What kind of a new body you're going to get? For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. So our body will be like his. We're going to be fashioned like Christ's body. He could appear through walls. He could go here and there after his resurrection. Of course, even when he was in a human body, He still defied science, didn't he? We're gonna have the same body that he had when he rose from the dead. I'm getting close to closing. I hope I'm encouraging you a little bit today. Stretch your faith. Pray beyond what you think, where you think your faith is. I was hearing, I got a text one day where somebody was asking me to pray for a woman who was in intense pain. And she was given some pain pills that they weren't sure, she thought she might have allergies to. Pray that her body will accept the pain pills so her pain won't be as bad. And I'm sitting there thinking, why can't we just pray that the cause of the pain goes away? So she don't have to take pain pills. Why don't we just pray that she gets healed? This is how we pray, though, folks. We pray below what we could be praying. And it was Peter that was not afraid to shoot for the stars. Yeah, he had times where he fell flat on his face. But I think he pleased God. Some may say I am crazy, and frankly, I do not care. I'm in good company. They say the same about Paul, proclaiming that his much learning made him mad in the Bible. Did you know that? They were talking about Paul, saying all this learning's made him crazy. And they said the same thing about Jesus himself. Folks, I have a faith wish list. I'm going to share a little bit of it. I won't share all of it. I don't want to be satisfied with where I am. I always want to go higher and deeper into Jesus and his love. I've been praying for the gift of healing, because there is a gift of healing in 1 Corinthians 12. And you saw it in operation through the book of Acts, where certain people laid hands on people and they were healed. I've been praying for that. And I haven't seen it manifest, and it is up to God. I'm not making demands on God, but I'm still seeking for that. I don't like seeing people suffer. Not only that, I just think of all the souls I could win to Jesus by saying to, I can just see a service in here some Sunday where Kenny comes in here and there's a bunch of unbelievers and one of us walks over there and says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, because God's told him to do it at that moment. And that's important. And he gets out of that chair. Believe me, people will be going all over the place talking about that. I've tasted and seen miraculous healings, and now I am not satisfied with anything less that does not glorify God. I desire the gift of faith from the Holy Spirit. I mean, faith that when things come my way, I'm not over there at my house talking with my niece. You know, Angela, give me something to help me have some faith in this situation. I want that gift. We all have a measure of faith when we're saved. But there's a gift of faith. And we get into times where we panic, right? I confess to you that I want that gift of faith so I don't get into them kind of things where I'm laying awake at night. How's this going to happen, God? Let me see if I can give you some advice. No. I desire to have no fear of man, just the fear of God, which is the beginning of all wisdom. When I say no fear of man, I'm not afraid to preach anything up here, because, you know, so somebody might be mad at me. Can't have that happen. I desire, and you can see in the book of Acts where they took a man, it might have been to Philip or one of the, where this man was gifted to impart the baptism of the Holy Ghost in people. I prayed for that too. You say, Kevin, you're asking God for a lot of things. Yes, I am. I'm 68. The clock's ticking. I'm too old to play games. Right, bud? I desire to do that. And my list is even bigger. So I have to ask you today in closing, are you satisfied? Do you want to go higher and deeper in the love of Jesus? What's on your faith wish list, or do you even have one? You think that there's something wrong if you ask God for these things, that he's going to be mad at you? He says you have not because you ask not. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. You have nothing to lose. Well, you do have a lot to lose, maybe, if you don't ask. Think about it. I'm debating. I have a video in here. I like this video. It's a 9-minute video. I say we'll go for it, because I usually don't like wearing people out. But we're going to play this video, then we're going to close in a song. And if you want to come up and have an agreement for something big, I'll be up here and we'll be agreeing with you. Let's cut the lights and let's watch this video. It's Jesus on the water. It's the second one. It's not the song.